intellectual.
Wow, this mixes.
My this mixes. Mistress. You guys totally, I don't know, maybe you missed it, maybe you didn't.
My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun.
She went digging in her bra for stuff.
I am not wearing a bra.
Oh, well, you...
I have been braless.
Digging in between your boobs for
quite
stuff.
Quite happily. Well, it was a sunflower seed.
It was. I have sunflower seeds in my mouth. I apologize. I thought we would have a little bit more time. There's a show before ours now. It's a little delay. Kind of feeling it out. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Hey!
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
You know what? It's been a rough start to the week, but I think I'm okay.
Yeah, well, it was because of it was a drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
because of the weekend.
Monster. Yeah.
We had...
A weekend.
Fuck, did we have a weekend. Let's start with Friday night. We go over to Julian Sir Redemption's for a fantastic dinner and naked hot tub time. That's where it starts. That's the beginning. And then the next day, we go to a rope munch where, you know, I tied you up a little bit. And then there was some ropey stuff. And then we went to, where did we go to eat? We found a pizza place, thanks to Yelp.
Yes.
And then we went to a class taught by Jay Wiseman, the Anatomy and Physiology of BDSM, and that was so good.
And those of you guys who don't know who Jay Wiseman is, kind of a guru in the stuffs and the stuffs.
In the stuffs and the stuffs. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he, like, wrote what people ostensibly refer to as the BDSM Bible. What's it called? BDSM 101? I think that's what it's
called. SM 101.
SM 101. And it's, you know, it's a fantastic book. We have a friend of ours, Lucky Socks, who, like, literally gives it out like candy.
Yeah.
Educate.
Perverted old man.
And then after that class, there was a play party.
Yes, there was.
There was a play party where some stuff happened.
Some
stuff happened at the play party.
Somebody asked me if I had fun, and I was like, I don't know.
To fill in the listeners at home, it was an interrogation scene, and I spoke nothing but French. I did not utter a word of English, and I was demanding that she respond to me. And when she didn't, you know, I'd slap her. I duct taped her to a chair. I, you know, threatened her. I had a knife. I had all sorts of things. I cropped her. I duct taped her breasts. That was fantastic. not down, but like into mountains.
Like out.
They were, you know, like it was mountains of boobs. It was like there was a duct tape boob here and it was a duct tape boob here and they were just separate. Hello, boobs. That was that. And that was because they were sensitive. And every time I touched her nipple, she like screamed and I was like, oh, so I duct taped them so that I could like hit them around with a crop. It was awesome until I had to take the duct tape off. And then, and she was terrified, like terror in her eyes because she didn't understand what I was saying. And I was clearly very angry when I was saying it. It was, and I had warned her days before that it was going to be a scene unlike we had ever done before.
Yeah.
And even before the scene started, I asked her, I said, how you doing? Feeling good? You ready for this? And partly that was because I had to get myself into the right headspace because I was very cold. Very cold. And I'm not cold like that. I'm normally very warm and very jovial. And so it took a lot for me to get into that headspace myself. It was a pretty intense. And she was crying. There was the blubbering. Oh, it was so fucking hot.
Oh, I'm glad you thought so.
I did. And you know what? Everybody else did too. Everybody else was like, fuck, that was hot.
Well, I mean, you speaking the French is just hot by itself.
It's not a very convenient language, but it is a very sexy language. I will agree to that. So that was that. And then Sunday, geez Louise Parcheesi, in one of our femdom groups, there was you taught a fisting. We earned a fisting merit badge.
Yes, we did.
In the Dom Scouts.
I really enjoyed that.
And I love the person that was the bottom.
Dude,
she's so fun and wonderful.
She's freaking awesome.
I'm going to play with her again. She's so great.
Yeah. Really good energy.
Yeah. Just good person.
Good person.
And then from that, we went to another Femdom Munch, which was really good. We just totally drove Jay Wiseman. Picked him up where he was staying.
Whatever.
Drove him to the Munch, sat with him at the Munch, chatted with him. Yeah. Because, you know, just Jay Wiseman, no big.
Yeah.
No big deal. Drove him home from the Munch. And then he's like, hey, how about if we all do dinner before? Because he needed a ride to another class, which is Friday. And I'm like, yeah, we could take you. And he goes, well, how about dinner beforehand? Yeah, cool. No, that sounds awesome. And as we're driving away, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like total fucking nerds.
Total, like, fangirls. I'm like, it's no big deal. Just totally, like, and I've been name dropping all week. They're like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I have dinner with Jay Wiseman on Friday. And then they're like, what? I was like, oh, yeah, no big deal. It's totally big deal. But I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so then, and then Sunday night, you weren't there, but I went to Shakespeare.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, it was a really fantastic rendition of Midsummer Night's Dream. And Alan Tudyk was right in front of me.
I got that text, yeah.
Dude, it was so freaking cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, dude, I wanted to say, like, I love you as Alpha, but I realize that's probably not his most famous role, but I love you as Alpha in Dollhouse. Like,
but see, you know what, though? I mean, I would assume that for someone that it's not their most famous role, that a compliment means a lot more to them.
I do.
You know?
That's my favorite.
Because that means you fucking pay attention to the shit they do.
Well, yeah. I'm a Whedon fangirl, that's for sure. So, yeah, that was our weekend. So, drop after that is
my
drop.
God.
And it's a kind of a good thing that we had a drop episode just a few weeks ago.
Oh my God, yeah.
So we could address that, how to deal with that. But your drop was very different. Very different because it's not done yet.
No, it's not.
It's very different.
You know, typically my drop consists of just wanting to be quiet and wanting to be in bed. But like being quiet, like as in just, I just don't want a lot of like, stimulating things around me. Like I'm really low on energy. And usually it's, you know, less than a day and then it's over. This, not so much. Wow, that was sexy. That was so sexy. For those of you watching us on livestream.com, I'm sure you got that. And if you're not, you may want to go to livestream.com and search Skid Row Studio so that way you can see a live feed of our show. What?
I'm eating sunflower seeds. Carry on.
Okay.
With your drop, carry on.
So usually it's less than a day, but this was like I woke Monday morning, I was going to work and I just thought, oh, fuck this. I should have stayed home.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's usually no reason for me not to go to work, not to get up and do the things that I regularly do. But I was thinking, shit, this is a bad fucking idea. I want to go home. And I was a raging fucking bitch.
I'm sure
all day.
Your coworkers would have appreciated if you had not come in.
Well, the ones that unfortunately I had to have a lot of contact with, I just forewarned them and I said, look, I'm going to do my very best to not be mean, but just know that I'm not in the best of moods. I'm really low energy right now and I could straight up punch somebody in the tit. I said, so we get anybody.
Don't do that. You can get fired for that shit.
We get anybody rude at the window. You send them my way. I'll take care of them for us. Don't you worry.
You're a sadistic little pleasure out of that.
Oh, yeah. And then there was tears during the day. I mean, it was just kind of like its own little roller coaster of emotions, but mostly it was just not good. It was really, really, really not good. I ran out of cigarettes, right? I didn't even have the energy to go buy a new fucking pack.
I don't understand that.
Right?
That's awful.
It's awful. I was just like, no, just shut it down. Shut it down, man. And
why was it so roller coaster?
Because this, on top of the fact that it was just a busy weekend and there was a lot of highs and a lot of lows, the weekend itself was a roller coaster.
True.
It was a roller coaster just by itself. The scene took me to a place that I had not gone to before. The fisting class totally made me feel so great. Like I felt so like useful and just, I felt good. And those two things were very polarizing things.
And they were within close proximity to each other.
Yes. And so I guess I'll start with the scene. You know, it made me have to really examine myself and my submission in relation to us. Because I'm not, I'm just not that, I'm not that awesome anymore. I'm not as awesome as I used to be.
Right.
And so that whole scene was just kind of like a, it was one of, it was like a, it kind of felt like a punishment, but it wasn't a punishment.
No. It had a specific purpose.
Well, yeah. And, it just, it was like, it was weird because the way that we were in this room, I was sitting in a corner and I felt very cornered.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very cornered and, I don't do well feeling cornered. Cause I had to, I didn't think about it right then and there in the scene. I mean, all I could think about was this doesn't feel good. Not the good, like, where I'm gonna, like, you know, say, all right, let's end the scene now. But it was the kind of bad where I yellowed.
Yep.
I, like, that does not happen.
No.
Ever.
Yellowed.
Ever, ever, ever.
It was awesome.
Wait, I'm sorry. What? Why was it awesome?
In plays like that, in scenes like that, when it's psychological edge play. And it's not an exact science. It's as much art as it is anything else. And there aren't lines that you know that you're crossing. You don't know when you're coloring outside of the lines. And when you yellowed, I saw where the line was. And it helped me. It helped me to continue the scene. The scene didn't end at the yellow, not even close. That might have been about the middle point. And it allowed me to be like, okay, that I see that that is one of the potential barriers, one of the potential ways to end the scene, that going in there. Okay, so I would still dabble in there and then come back, but not stay in that particular thing that we were doing when you yellowed. It gave me guidance for how far I could push you for where your mental state was at the time. It was fantastic.
There was no subspace.
No, you couldn't, because you had to think.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
You had to think. You had to try and think, what the fuck is she saying? Because I wasn't speaking English.
No.
You had to think. There was no way you could go into subspace. It was designed that way.
I don't know French people, but like I know Spanish. So I can, if I really, really please, like, pay really close attention and she's speaking slowly enough, I can kind of make out what she's saying, or at least the context of what's happening. And this was not that. My fear was so paralyzing, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I'll be less upset. I'll be less like a mess if I just focus on what she's saying and focus on trying to decipher what she's saying. But that wasn't working.
Nope.
It was just very unpleasant. Very, very, very unpleasant.
Yes, it was. It was fantastic for me.
Well, I'm sure it was.
I had a fantastic time. Great scene. Had a fucking blast. I got to get all cold and heartless and bitchy, which I never get to do. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed myself. And it did all of the things that I wanted it to do. So, you know, win-win.
Wait, please tell our listeners, what were those things?
It was a kick in your ass so that you could see that, nah, baby, ain't about you. It's been about you for long enough. It's about me. It's about us. But there's been a fuck ton of focus on you and you alone. And that's not going to be the case anymore. So that's what that was. And I figure, why be subtle about it? you know, let's be very overt with French. So that's where that came from.
I think that this is an awesome segue to the topic for tonight.
Yes, so it is.
People have asked, you know, what's your favorite implement? What's your favorite toy? And my response is always, well, my favorite toy is her brain. And, you know, I mean, that's it's a silly, kind of silly thing to say. But, I mean, given the fact that my primary interests lie with humiliation and objectification, those kinds of things take a lot of creativity.
Yeah, no, the kind of play that works for you pushes me to be a better, not just a better dominant, because it's not about that, to me, a better scene maker. And I don't begrudge that. In fact, I love it. I love that I have to stretch and grow and I have to try and do different things. You know, I would get really bored if every scene was, you know, flog, 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 paddle, spank, cane, flog. You know, I'd get really bored. Every scene was just impact. And you're not a pain slut. You can't take a lot of impact. It's a really, impact scenes with you are very short because you just can't take it. And that's fine. That's who and what you are. No big deal. But that means that if I want to have a long scene, I got to think about it. I got to really plan something out that'll work for both of us. So it pushes me. So, you know, I've come up with, I think, some pretty fantastic ideas, painting you like a statue. I thought that was fairly brilliant, to be quite honest, to pat myself upon my back. Not that the interrogation scene was anything new and unusual. It's certainly, you know, everybody else has done interrogation scenes, but it was our first. So I thought that was creative. You know, I've done, you know, saran wrapping with knife play. You know, there's been a lot of things that I've really had to do to really kind of make sure that I could cover the things that work for you as well as the things that work for me. But it does make me have to not only just prepare in a different way, but I have to adjust in the middle of the scene. I will let you know that the interrogation scene, I changed it significantly in the middle from what I had envisioned it to be. I never have like an end game because I know that everything changes. There's the energy of the moment. There's how I'm feeling. There's how you're feeling. There's how things are going. There's how the external viewers are impacting the scene. I know all that's going to come up. So I never have a finite end point. But I had kind of a vision, and in the middle of it, it was like, this is changing rapidly. And I had no problem with that. I liked the direction it went. It went a lot darker than I had originally anticipated,
wow,
which is fantastic. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, lighthearted. No, it wasn't going to be lighthearted at all, but it did get a lot. I think part of the reason is that I could not have imagined how dark I personally went, because I'm thinking from a very cerebral standpoint when I'm setting up a scene. I'm not thinking from an emotional standpoint, but when I'm in the scene, it's very emotional. And so I could not have imagined how dark I would have felt, which I felt. And so it became a much darker scene to what I had imagined.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was trying to follow all of that.
Yeah, no, it just means that from the moment that you design a scene, it doesn't end. You know, it happens in the moment. And let's say you get to the dungeon and whatever fantastic scene you had is dependent on a particular room being available or a particular piece of equipment being available or whatever. I had to get specific permission to use glitter on the statue scene. You know, like all of these things. So you have to constantly be like, okay, well, I have to adjust. I have to, you know, it's always working. You know, it's as if, you know, you're using a cane that is constantly ebbing and flowing between being, you know, a thick cane to a thin cane to a rattan to a bamboo, and it's always changing. And you in the middle of it while you're swinging it is like, oh, I need to adjust my swing because it's now changed to a different kind of cane. And that's, to me, I love that. I love that that is required, that your brain has to think like that when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, and I think that almost it prevents you from getting lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, am I off on that?
Or? No. No, I mean...
Not it, you specifically. I mean, the you, like the general
royal,
you.
The royal you. The one for me. I get it.
Yes.
It does. It's... I think that, like, for me, when I'm doing just pickup scenes, especially when I'm doing, like, a first-time scene with somebody, I don't know them. I'm generally feeling out their energy, feeling out what they can take, feeling out what they can't take. That's actually a fairly generic scene. And so for me, the thought process isn't so much in what kind of creativity, how can I make it different? It's about, you know, for lack of a better term, I'm testing their defenses for weaknesses, for strengths, that kind of thing. So you still have to use your brain, but it's still, you know, you're looking at, okay, I have this implement and this implement and this implement and this implement, and then I'm making a mental inventory on how the person reacts to each of them. So that it's a little bit different where from an external viewpoint, it might look like a very generic scene because it's, you know, let's start with spanking and then we'll have a paddle and then we'll have a cane and then we'll do flogging and then we'll do punching, you know.
You know, you know how sometimes we make fun of people that lay out all of their toys all over the place and on other...
Is it because it is not upon their domly belt?
I totally think that guy was just trying to be, you know...
I don't care.
Okay. Anyways. But, you know, we make fun of those people that lay out all of their toys and, like, fucking take up other furniture so that people can't use it to actually, you know, play on. But, I mean, hearing you, you know, talk about this, I wonder if for some of those people who lay out all their toys, if it's that, you know, they have a specific scene in mind. Mm-hmm. But they want, you know, they want all their toys out because the scene can take, you know, a turn to the left or the right at any time. And, sure. And you know, it disrupts the flow of the scene when you stop to go digging through your bag for that, like, one thing, one awesome thing that it occurred to you, oh, this would totally, like, bring it up a level.
No, I respect that. But you can be more space efficient. With all of your toys, like for example, there's several dungeons that we go to that have those neat little things with all the hooks to hang all your stuff. So you can hang all your floggers, you can hang all your paddles, all your things that have little thingies to hang them on, you can hang them. And mostly there's like six, there's eight or nine on each thing. That's a lot of implements you can hang. And then for me, we've gone to places where I've done all the hanging, and then I've had a chair. Generally, it's the subby chair for afterwards, where I'll lay out the other things that can't fit on the thing that hangs. Because I would rather do that than take away a piece of equipment from somebody else. I just think it's rude.
Oh, yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but you can have both. You can do both. You can be polite and have all your toys.
You don't say.
I do say.
What, I mean, I know that you said that, you know, for us, it's different because I don't do well with impact, so a lot of it has to be cerebral that you come up with all this stuff. But I mean, do you have a preference for one or the other?
No. I like it all. I really do. I mean, people ask me, like, if I had to pick, like, what my favorite thing to use, I would just be like, well, I'll have nothing then. I'll just use my hands and my brain and figure it all out. Maybe I have a belt and I could tie somebody up. You know what I'm saying? It's just, for me, it depends on my mood what I like the most at any given time. You know, sometimes I go through this like string of, oh my God, I want to put needles in everybody. Uh-huh. And then it's like, hey, I have needles. Would you like me to put needles in you? Let's put needles. You know, and then sometimes I'm like, I haven't done needles in quite some time because I just haven't had anybody to do it on. So, and then sometimes it's, you know, I'm going to saran wrap everybody. And I constantly am saran wrapping people. And then it's, you know, whatever, you know, and I'm going to humiliate and I'm going to, and now I'm, you know, using my rope more. I'm going to tie up everybody, you know. So it just depends. I think, you know, you kind of rotate around. You get in moods. Hmm. So just, I don't have a preference. I like that we can do play, air quotes, in public when it's, you know, humiliation and those kinds of things. Because, you know, it can be perceived as joking around. the less offensive stuff anyway.
Yeah, right.
Our race play people might look at like, white bitch, you can't talk to her that way. And I'm like, actually, I can. But, yeah, I mean, for the little things that we do that are humiliating, etc. Like I was going to change your text tone to a barking dog. That's humiliating. Yes. Just fantastic. Yes. It was going to be like a little teeny tiny barking dog too. An annoying one.
But
not a chihuahua.
Yeah,
I have to find it. I'm sure I'll
totally
find it.
You would totally get tired of that tone though. You would.
We'll see. We'll see. Again, I will have to search for it. I have an Android. I can find whatever I want. It is out there.
Okay.
So, you know, just it's those kinds of things that I enjoy that we can do it in, you know, a vanilla context. Even service, that can be done in a vanilla context. You know, where if somebody is simply a pain bottom, that can't be done in a vanilla context.
No, I know.
You know, that would be weird. It would make people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Because I know I've said this for a long time. If you want to come up with the most fucked up scenes, you ask a submissive. So how about you?
What about me?
What about your brain? What you got that jingles around in there?
The first thing that comes to mind is mindfulness.
Define. Not the word. What do you mean by it?
I mean, like if I'm going to go pick you up because we're on our way here, those times that I happen to stop by to get my pack of cigarettes and I pick up an Arnold Palmer half and half because I know that you like to have something to drink at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those times when I do get it right and we go to Starbucks and you get the Americano and with extra room because you like some half and half in there.
Milk.
See, like I said, when I get it right. When you like the milk and the packets of sugar and then the vanilla, but I have to take off the cap because it doesn't. So I have to take off the cap and then actually pour it in there and all of that. And, you know, things like that. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And I guess that's more of a, more in like the service realm, you know. But that, I mean, when I think about, you know, the brain as a toy and how an S-type would utilize that, I think about mindfulness. The second thing that comes to mind is, is of course all of those like, you know, awesome fantasies.
Such as?
Well, like, I don't know how to give you an example, but like whenever, you know, like the not even like the fantasies, but the instigating, you know, we have a, you know, our Twitter friend, who I lovingly call Lillian. And,
I love him.
I am by no means am I a top or a D type, but like I love the idea of suggesting that he put on lace panties and then he has to wear pantyhose and wait, he can't wear the heel. He can't forget to wear the heels and like all of these things, like the instigating part, you know? Not because like that's something that I would find enjoyable. I mean, obviously he finds it enjoyable because, you know, he's Lillian, but almost kind of just the, you know, push it, just pushing it a little bit more. I don't know if that's making any sense.
No, because I mean, yes, but, I mean, like we've had shows where we talk about, you know, our masturbation fantasies or our fantasies or whatever that. That's when you're using, you know, your greatest asset. Your brain is your toy. When you and some of those things that you've said have sparked some of our deepest conversations, such as the year of hopeful forced hetero for you.
Oh yeah.
You know, that came from one of those dark fantasies, which is your brain. So my point is, do you not stretch that muscle? I mean, you go on the Tumblr. Sometimes you read erotica when receive permission. Does that not stretch your mind? I mean, I don't have the option. I can't be complacent. I have to continually stretch my mind in order to imagine new and different scenes. So I'm not kind of rehashing the same things over and over and over again, mm-hmm. which therefore makes my brain your favorite toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your brain were to do the same, I mean, that could only enhance things. Yes?
Yes.
So then do you not?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Every single time that I do get my 30 minutes of Tumblr, and any image that I see, even if it's just like a very short thought about how that image, whatever it is that I'm looking at, maybe, you know, this could happen as a result of, you know, XYZ, or, you know, in what situation would this happen, you know? And that's why when you asked me today, like before the show, when I was tumbling, you said, you know, are you sure you want to use that for right now? Or do you want to save it for when you masturbate later? And I said, I didn't mind. And the reason for that is because, you know, I think about those images and I, you know, I already saw them, right? And so then when I'm going to get ready to like get down and dirty with myself, I'm not tumbling right then and there, you know?
I've never watched you, so I don't know.
You
know,
yeah, that's right. You never have.
I tried.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Didn't work. It was very unsuccessful. Men are so much easier than that.
We'll try again if it's okay with you. you know, I'm not laying there with, you know, in one hand I have my phone and I have the Tumblr app open, and in the other hand I have the vibrator. That's not how it works. I tumble. Whatever, there's something, there will have been something that I saw in those 30 minutes. And even if I didn't come across anything that really struck my fancy, fuck, I go to my favorites that I've like, you know, favorited on the Tumblr right before my 30 minutes are over.
So you can have that fresh in your mind.
Yeah, because I favorite the ones that like really make me like, you know? So then what happens? I see that image and, you know, I think about how would that unfold for us? You know? And I just kind of create erotica in my mind. It's awesome.
So share. That was awesome. Share.
So silly.
I am.
Well, there's always whenever I see the images of the caged girls, mm-hmm. you know, and I think, well, you know, what would happen if like one time, like my mistress decided that, you know, with obviously somebody that she trusted, that I trusted, and that ever, you know, safety, whatever. What if she just decided, you know, to just, you know, lend me to someone, you know, no holds bar, blah, 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 you know? And then it's just, I it's strange because something like that, like if it were to actually happen, I might feel really out of control and really like a little, really, really ridiculously anxious about it. But, you know, in the safety of my mind, I can get really dark about those things. Like the forced hetero.
So, you came into my mind last night.
Hey, you. You and the penis in you. The hipster penis.
He's a total fucking hipster.
Oh my God, I didn't even tell you. When I was grabbing dinner tonight, I saw somebody that had like mega hipster beard.
Ugh.
Like it was like, you know, neck beard, but and then it was like overflowing and like it
I
was like
so
fucking,
glad
oh my God.
That Evie trimmed his beard. I was like, because it was getting like out of control. So we cut his hair and trimmed his beard and he looks a little bit less hipstery. Thank
As
Lord.
If that could happen.
Right. Uh-huh. I think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt gives it away. That makes Oops. You hipster anyway. So Evie and I were doing our thing last night.
Uh-huh. As you do.
As we do. And so we're fluid bonded now. And so there was a, you know, when he was done, uh-huh. I thought, Nancy could do some cleanup right now. I thought that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be hot? Yeah, it's going to happen. That reaction told me it's going to happen.
Awesome. But not him.
Who else am I going to be fluid bonded with? I'm fluid bonded with one person.
I know, but I'm sorry.
What the fuck do you take me for?
His little shenanigan last night really fucking turned me like... away from him. So mistress and I were okay. So yesterday I went over to mistress's house and did some service and did all this stuff. And she was busy with like other stuff and other people. And so then, you know, by the time like we got to sit down and like just have like us time, like it was pretty late. And then like fucking 15 minutes later, EB comes strolling on in. And mind you, she and I are sitting on the fucking couch. I'm smoking. there's not a whole lot of room because there's like clothes and stuff like behind her. There wasn't a lot of room. Like, it was really just enough room for myself, the fucking ashtray between us, and her.
I even said when I was like, hey, EB's coming over. I was like, you know, let's make some room so he has room to sit on the couch. And she goes, he can sit on the bed. And I was like, okay.
Right? Because you're going to end up there anyways.
How did that work out?
And so he walks into the fucking room, and this guy fucking plops himself right between her and me.
He really did. It was awesome.
Like, no fucking regard. Nancy, and I'm like, what so the pissed. Fuck? What the fuck? It was the rudest thing ever. It was so rude.
I don't think that he saw it as rude.
I don't give a fuck. I saw it. It was rude. It was rude because you know what? Yeah. This is not fucking like Three's Company or anything like that. Like,
I'm a knock on a door. God, now it's on my head. Yeah, that pissed you off.
It really, really. Well, it's
funny.
Really, it wasn't so much the fact that he just decided to sit between us because, that was rude. But more just like, damn it. Like, she and I were having together time and then you showed up.
Mm-hmm. And then not just that, he sat between us and then he like just
fucking
hands right all over me. Like, yeah. He was all over me.
Draped himself on me.
He was like caressing my leg. He was like hanging out on me. And I'm like, oh, whatever.
So then I got up and I moved to the bed with the fucking ashtray.
That's right.
I was so mad. I'm still mad now just thinking about it. So he better make that shit up to me before there's any of me cleaning you out.
Okay.
I mean, just because, yeah.
I will facilitate a mediation between you and EB.
Ooh.
That's so funny.
It's not funny.
Sadist, funny to me.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying, while you're stomping your feet and pouting your lips, how much you don't like that.
I'm saying that it wouldn't kill him to be polite. And also, he's a newcomer. He's the newcomer. I've been here before him. Yeah. He should be nice. He should be polite.
He didn't perceive it as being rude or impolite.
Okay. Well, next time that he does it, I will let him know that he's being rude and impolite.
I sometimes think of he has, that was very boyfriendy. And it's like, no, not there. That's not where we are.
Well, then if you don't think that you guys are there, then you'll have no problem with me telling him that that's rude, right? Because he's going to do it again.
I don't give a fuck. Tell him whatever you want. I don't give a shit. You're your own goddamn person.
Okay.
I don't give a shit.
All right.
You and he know each other. Fuck, you could text him right now and tell him you think it's rude. You have his number.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know.
That's like, but I'm not going to text him that. It's like after the fact now. It's like whatever.
Well, that's not my fault. That's yours. So even bringing up later is still after the fact.
Jesus Christ. No, I'm just saying if he does it again, then I'm going to tell him something then.
Okay, you do that.
I'm going to do that.
Stomp those feet.
Hey.
You pout that lip. And you, you do all of that. You tell me how that works out for you.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
We're so off topic.
We are. You know what were we talking about?
The brain. So, yeah. But I guess one of my favorite things is not having to talk by myself.
Sup, lady?
Yeah, so that happened. It was unpleasant. There was unpleasantness. She's back.
Oh, yay.
Yay. I got nervous.
When the phone rings in the middle of the show and it's your spawn, you answer.
Okay, so there's that.
What a miss.
Oh, no, I was just telling her that that's unpleasant, how it makes me nervous when you leave.
Some might call that codependent.
Maybe.
Some might.
Some might not.
Some might. Some might. That made me here. Okay.
Yeah, but now we're off topic.
Let's get back on topic. I was about to get back on topic. That was the okay. Wow. What was that?
I don't know, but it made me feel good.
So if my... Here's what I'm concerned about. I'd like to think in the ultimate grand wonderful thing that is the world is my brain will never disappoint. That it's boundless depths of ability to create fantastic, imaginative things.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that Tim Burton would never stop making imaginative, wonderful, original films, and yet he has. So I'm concerned that everybody peaks And I don't want to do that.
You don't want to peak.
I don't want to peak. I want to, like, you know, I want to infinity go on forever.
Got it.
Until I die. That's what I want to do. And then, you know, maybe that's when I peak at death. A fantastic death scene. Can I have that? You know what I'm saying? And that's, I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern. I think everybody who prides themselves on creating original, inventive, interesting scenes, I think there's some point in the head that you wonder, am I going to max out?
Well, and, you know, we've all seen those people who, you know, at play parties that do the same scene over and over and over again. And it becomes very predictable. And I wonder sometimes, you know, for their bottom, does it become like super duper predictable where like it's like, whatever. So you're hitting me with a gain. Whatever.
No, I mean, I guess if you get into subspace, then no. I mean, you get into subspace. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is something to be said about predictability, especially when you're dealing with impact play, because it allows you to get into the rhythm of it and be able to deal with the pain better. And it might be able to it might enable somebody to be able to handle more pain than they might have the last time.
Oh, science experiment.
I'm just saying that seems very logical. Yes. You know, based on my extensive experience bottoming. No, but I've bottomed twice. Once was to the lightest top ever. I love you, Julie. And the other one was to my ex-boyfriend. And what I experienced was when I could predict that the blows were coming, I could handle a lot more. So I wonder if you have that predictability, you know what's going
Once
to happen.
Once was to the lightest top ever. I love you, Julie. And
what the fuck was that?
It was the live stream. Because you can see the comments that people are making, and I wanted to see if there was any comments. And so,
yeah. Okie dokes.
Sorry.
Weird.
Because they were listening last time, so I wanted to know. Never mind. Forget it.
Weird.
Forget I said anything.
Anyway, so that I don't know if there's any validity to it, but that seems to be, you know, at least it would give somebody pause. Maybe it does enable you to be able to take more and more pain if you're able to predict what it is. I don't know. I'm just spitballing at this point.
Yeah, you are.
Just saying shit. But yeah, there are those people that have the same scene. But I think that it takes a lot of courage to play publicly, especially when you're at the top.
I imagine. Yeah.
I mean, I get it takes courage to get all naked in front of everybody. That takes another kind of courage.
Yeah.
But to be the person that's designing the scene, that's doing the scene, that's putting all of their skills, everything out on display, that takes, you know, a lot of courage, a lot of guts to do. I mean, when I'm doing these scenes, they're very intimate for me. The ones that I design for you, they have to be intimate. And so I'm putting, like, that's my brain that I just put on display. And if it's, you know, banal and insipid, I don't want to have a banal and insipid brain. That sounds bad.
That is bad.
It is bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, I think that part of what makes it easy to put your brain on the line is because we do have an intimate connection. You know, I mean, I think, and you said it before, you know, I mean, if it's different, it's different if it's somebody that you're playing with for the very first time. I mean, it's almost kind of like you're giving them a sampler.
Yeah, no, it's very service toppy. The first time I play with somebody is very service toppy because I don't know their limits. I don't know where they are. Once I get to know somebody, it's like, okay, all right, now we can get, this shit can get real now.
Right.
And you've seen it with those play partners that I've played with multiple times. You've seen it the first time and then the second time, and the third time, the fourth time, and how it gets a lot deeper. You know, I very specifically, if we have not pre-negotiated any sort of power exchange, I go out of my way to ensure that that is not a component of it, that everything's been negotiated out. But I will push their physical limits if that's something they've authorized me to do.
Right.
So it's still a little service toppy. Service toppy. So that's all I got.
That's all you got?
I mean, I got more, but you know, I got Cherry Mountain Dew. That's what I got.
You guys, you don't even know the ridiculous shenanigans.
No, you really don't know the ridiculous shenanigans. You don't. I'm excited though, because after the show, we are heading over to an all women's play party.
Yes.
where a lot of our women's friends will be.
Yes.
We love those women's friends.
Yes. And we went last time and there was like nakedness, and all the boobies, all of the boobies. There was boobies.
People just standing there having naked conversations with us.
Naked conversations.
And I was like, they're naked and having conversations. I like this. It was cool.
Not that it, like, I just popped into my head. At a party like that, where it's all women and it's all very, because the energy is very different. That party, even compared to like a femdom party, it's very different.
Agreed.
Would you ever just have your boobies flying out?
Sure. I don't know why I would, to what end, but sure.
Just because everybody else has their boobies out, I guess.
Well, not everybody did, but a lot of them did.
A lot of them did.
And I'm generally not known for succumbing to peer pressure, so.
That's true.
Just saying. I mean, you know, maybe it would be like, hey, we're all going to have our boobies out because we're women and we love each other and we're going to burn our bras and have our boobies out. I'd be like, yes, I will boobie out for that. You know, like if there's a purpose behind boobie out as opposed to just, wow, everybody's boobs are out and I'm the only one clothed. I should put my boobies out. You know, I'm not, that's weird. I'd be like, oh, why do I put my boobies out? You don't need to see my boobs. Stay away from my boobs.
I need to see your boobs.
You see my boobs all the time.
I know. That doesn't mean I only wanted to see them once.
You've seen them more than once.
That doesn't mean I only wanted to see them three times or four times or five times or six times.
Well, I'm not wearing a bra, so, you know, there you go.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that, by the way.
Live stream.
Not going to happen.
Fucking Mindy.
Not going to happen. The best you got was me digging whatever these things are out of my boobs.
A
sunflower seed out of my boobs. And it was nicely, it fell underneath my right breast.
Oh, fuck.
So I got it. It was adding a little extra salt to the mix. I thought that was nice of it.
Wow, that is so attractive.
It is. Baby, I'm so sexy.
Oh my God.
My sexiness.
Oh my God.
See, well, that's why everybody wants me to be their mistress. Because I'm like this. No, that's not true. I'm such a fucking dork. I am. It's okay. We do not speak of it.
Oh my God. You just turned into such a mess.
You know, after last week and then this week, I don't know. I don't know what our show has turned into.
I don't know. And even on the way over here, you were like, oh, my brain is mush. I don't know what I'll be able to say. Will I be able to speak? Blah, 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 blah.
I couldn't find words. My brain was mush. I was doing so much homework that I was like, blah, blah. Muddled butter. I don't know how you muddle butter, but that sounds bad. Clarified butter? No, that sounds good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's all I got.
So, well, this was your topic. Do you feel that we covered it comprehensively for you? This was your topic.
No, it wasn't. It was your topic.
Well, it was your topic.
Oh my God, I have the text message to show you.
Yes, because you're the one who says it all the time. So it was your topic.
Oh, but I didn't suggest it as a topic for the show.
I have no problem throwing you as hard under the bus as it can be thrown. No problem with that whatsoever.
I have the text message.
I'm going to pull up some of our other topics that I've been spitballing in my Evernote.
You know what would be really cool is if we got our listeners to, because I know a lot of you listen to us like the morning after because you've downloaded it or whatever, but it would be really cool because I was talking to Miss D over the weekend.
I love her.
And I told her that, you know, that some people have been asking for her to come back on the show.
Yes.
And she said, you know, why don't you go, by the time, you know, I'm able to come in, why don't you ask your listeners to submit questions? Mm. You know, just whatever they want to hear about. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than happy to come in. So, just putting that one out there for those of you who are listening.
Yeah, remember, she's a marriage and family therapist. She's been in the lifestyle for 30 plus years. She fucking knows almost everything. If not, she'll figure it out. She's fantastic. So if you have questions to that end, you know, send them to us. FetLife, Twitter, whatever, send them to us. All right, so here's the potential topics that I have going on for us before we end up going off the air.
Yes.
Hold on.
Oh my God!
I tried to burp away from the mic.
You pulled the mic towards you right when you were burping.
I thought I was.
We are such classy bitches, obviously.
It's the Mountain Dew.
Fuck.
Whatever. You fart on me. So
I don't fart on the show.
You do too. They just can't hear it. Okay.
Oh, dear God.
All right. So here are some of the topics that we have that we're going to potentially talk about. Next week, we actually do have on two rope experts. They're going to talk about more of the symbolism of rope, mm-hmm. kind of much more from a cerebral level of the rope. I'm really excited. One is Andrew, who we've had on the show before, and then one is Demon Six, who we've not, who is actually the person who taught Andrew everything he knows. So I'm very excited about that. We have a person who was an EMT for 17 and a half years who will come on to discuss a couple different things. Number one, general safety, just kind of some general safety, anatomy, physiology, those kinds of things. I also want to have him come on to talk about STDs and STIs in kink and in polyamory. So that's awesome. We have a friend of ours who was an AIDS counselor, an HIV counselor, who's going to come in and talk, and we're going to have an HIV episode. That's awesome.
That's going to be awesome.
It is. We have a friend of ours who is an attorney. He's going to talk about the legal ramifications of BDSM. That's awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
And that's some of our guests. And some of the shit that just came out of my head is when a DS relationship fails, dealing with the aftermath.
Yeah.
Online versus real life DS. Your online self. And then today's episode, which is your best toy is your brain.
And here's a text message from her. See?
Which is,
topic.
I never would have said it if it's not something that you keep saying. People say, what's your favorite toy? Her brain. Jeez Louise, Parcheesi, you're such a fucking smack your fucking ass. You have no fucking idea.
Hey.
Oh, fucking.
But she loved me and I make you laugh.
I will still smack you. Yes, I will. And I will sing and make you hate that song, too.
So I really can't hear her speak French for a little bit.
C'est vrai.
Oh, my God. Please, no. Please, please, please. Let's not. Let's not. Let's not do that. Let's not do those things. Let's not do those things. Let's not do those things.
All right. So you can't hear me speak French. You can't hear me sing Christmas carols. You know, if I start singing in the rain, that won't be a happy song for you anymore. I'm going to start busting into Mary Poppins at some point in a scene.
Oh my
you won't
God.
Be able to watch that anymore.
No. I vetoed limit. That shit.
Hard limit.
Vetoed.
Mary Poppins, anything Julie Andrews is a hard limit.
Don't ruin Julie Andrews for me. Don't do that. I will not be a happy. It's like you live to upset me sometimes.
I do. Not live, but in that moment, it's just, oh, it's so gleeful.
Oh, God.
It's so gleeful. It's exciting. Yes. Yes.
I feel like this has turned into a what the fuck episode.
Does it matter? Does it matter? I knew when coming in it would be a what the fuck episode because I knew at least half of it we were going to need to talk about the weekend. I already knew that, so I don't give a shit. Whatever. You want to know what's great? It's our show. Fuck it. It's our show. We can do what we want. As long as we stay on topic of BDSM, which we did.
I totally had like a top fail.
We'll do it fast.
Well, no, because so the young lady that bottomed for the fisting demo, I totally should have checked in with her the following day.
You did. You fail. You suck. You horribly. She'll be there tonight, so you can check in with her tonight.
She texted me.
She texted you.
Yeah.
You really do fail.
Right.
That's pretty bad.
She said she was okay and everything.
And her vagina's fine.
Her vagina's fine.
Good. It's good to have a fine vagina.
Yeah. It's good.
Unfine vaginas are not good. That's awesome. Well, you know, that was our show.
Fuck.
I don't know what that show was. We're going to write up a description and it might be really inaccurate. So when it goes up, who knows?
Yep.
We never said who we were. Not at the beginning of the show, not ever.
Nope. And since you've gotten shit for that.
Well, in case you didn't know, I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And this is Intellectual King.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter. Tweet us. We're on the FetLife. I'm starting to be more active on the FetLife.
And review us on iTunes. And please, please, please tweet us any questions, any comments
anything.
That you have. Anything, anything, anything.
Anything at all. We're usually really good at responding. Usually. I don't always respond to stupidity. I will be honest about that.
She's
better at responding to stupidity than me.
I am. So if you're afraid to ask something, you should probably ask me instead of her because she's going to ignore you.
No, I won't ignore. But I mean, if it's a good question, I will give it some good pause.
But if you're afraid that it's not a good question, basically what she's saying
is, don't ask me if you're afraid it's a bad question. I'm the person that hangs up on you. I'm the person that'll be like, really? That's a question?
And I'm the person that stays on the line with you and says, oh, that's okay. It's really cute.
Which is why I'm the D and she's the S. All right. We gotta go.
All right.